Hi, it's Mac. It's Mac Hogan here on Audioboo. Day 24 of the Audio Mo Audio Month event. And I thought I'd piggyback off an audio that I listened to earlier on this morning. And that was from a lovely guy over there in Ireland, Roger Overall. He's on a fitness campaign and he's doing a lot of swimming in the slow lane. But Roger was trying to discern or distinguish the characters as he emerged from the changing rooms to the pool. Which ones were the pros in the fast lane and which one were the flappers, the learners, in other words, the amateurs. And along with that, was made a comment to his audio from the lovely Sarah Sayre, who is, I believe, at she's just on Twitter with that. She has a website as well. Anyway, so Sarah, apologies Sarah, you know my head, it's fully war. So Sarah made a comment about how even though she was big boned, well structured in her youth, she was a very good swimmer. And so I wanted to talk about my swimming history. I began swimming. Hold on, I'm going to put this big bag because it's making a lot of rustling. There you go. Shut up, you bag. Be quiet. It's annoying me more than it was annoying you, probably. So anyway, in my youth, you see, most kids went swimming because there wasn't a lot else to do. I mean, I don't mean there was nothing else to do. I mean, there was a lot. Not a lot else to do. We didn't have televisions or PlayStations or mobile phones or McDonald's or all these wonderful things of modern age has. We didn't have that. So you ran about, you played various games in the streets, you kicked a ball, you run after a ball, you run through hula hoops, unless you were a girl and actually hula hooped. But swimming was very high on your exercise list because we were taught it at school from an early age, and also it was a great source of fun and excitement. And most of the people in my hometown, as in many of the hometowns, if they had a pool, it wasn't every town that had a pool, of course, went swimming whenever you could. So I was swimming in the local Bathgate pool, built, by the way, I have to tell you, historically. It was paid for by the miners of Bathgate and funded by them for a good while after, before the local authorities turned on the funding. In other words, the money to keep it going. But it was the miners that funded that for the local community, which was a wonderful gesture way back in the day when people had nothing. Anyway, so I learned to swim at a very early age. I don't think I had any fear of water even from my first day. Maybe my mother would argue that about the fear of going near a sink and washing behind my ears, etc. But no fear of water, and we would swim wherever we could swim. We'd swim in the burns, we'd swim in the resies. The resi is a reservoir, of course. We swam wherever we could. We walked up the hills and swam in the reservoirs. But by the time I got to my about 12-year-old, I guess, 12-year-old, yeah, I joined the swimming club. And that was a BASC, Bathgate Amateur Swimming Club. I still have my trunks, as we call them, with the badge still on, in the attic somewhere in a wee suitcase, along with my, what do you call them? Boy Scouts, yes. My Boy Scouts outfit. And the shorts or the trunks that are up there are denim. Denim, sort of a short leg ones that I eventually decided were really flash and ditched the typical Speedo type. We didn't have Speedos in those. Oh yeah, we did actually have Speedos. I apologise, we did have Speedos. But Speedos are quite pricey, so we tended to buy the sort of, you know, the more mainstream budget swimming costumes. So I began swimming with the club, and the bath master that day was Mr. Samuel. Mr. Samuel was a fantastic bath master. Lovely man. It's weird to say a lovely old man, but he probably was only in his 40s or 50. Maybe not even that many. But he was a bath master. I always remember him walking about with his flannels and soft shoes and short sleeve shirt and tie, would you believe it, in the bath. He was just one of those men who would not be seen unless he was dressed, unless he was in the pool, of course, because he was also an excellent swimmer. As was his son, Neil. Neil was just a bit older than me. Neil, and this is getting back to what Sarah was saying. Neil was a big guy, really a big guy, about 5'10", shoulders that could hold the earth, big legs, but he wasn't streamlined. He wasn't like what you would see these modern swimmers. He wasn't like that. He was very deep-chested, carried a wee bit of weight, not a lot. But Neil was like a blooming torpedo in the water. He could dive in at the shallow end. Now this is, by the way, our pool was a 25 metre pool, considered small nowadays, but just mean when you were training you had to do more turns, and as anybody who's a swimmer knows, it's the turns that take the wind out of your sails, not the swimming. Neil could dive in at one end of the pool and do two lengths underwater. I could do a length and a half through training. Neil could do two lengths effortlessly. He was just like a penguin, a big slow penguin, maybe like an emperor penguin or something, you know. That it was like a cruise missile, in other words, in the water. And boy, could this boy swim, but his shape was all wrong. But so it just proves, you know, that your shape doesn't really matter, as does your de rigueur dress, whatever you're wearing. We didn't have these floppy beach shorts at the time. No one had those. It was swimming costumes for the girls, full outfit, in other words, no split systems, and the guys invariably were in black trunks. If you were in the club, it was black. There was no choice at that time. It was black, and the girls were all in black. But we had a girl in the club, and kind of fancied her, but she was a bit younger than me and she didn't fancy me. But anyway, turned out to be good friends. Her dad was a local trader, a lovely Irish man here in the town, Fred Kay, Mr. Kay, and his daughter. She was like the proverbial matchstick, a skinny wee man. By God's truth, her backstroke was amazing. She was a star right from the start. You could tell she was just going to go places. And she was a brilliant backstroker. She could swim very well the other strokes, but her backstroke, she left most of the guys standing. I don't know why. Why was she a natural at the backstroke when there was absolutely no build, no strength? Look at the girls nowadays, big muscular shoulders, you know, to power them through the water. She wasn't like that. I mean, but she just seemed to cut through the water with effortless ease. So anyway, as I said, many nights, evenings. I was an apprentice at the time when I was swimming proper, not at 12, but by the time I got to 16-year-old, I jumped a few years, I know, but I'll try to cover all the things here. By the time I was 16-year-old, I was doing my apprenticeship as an electrical engineer, 12 miles away in the town of Shotts at the training centre, and I would come straight home from there and continue in the bus up into the town, straight into training. With hardly a bite to eat, I might add, but still, all the better if you're training hard. You don't want a belly full of grub. And we would train about four nights a week, and then we would do special training once a month on a Sunday, very arduous training on a Sunday. But it was all fun, and the great thing about the training was that when we were training, it was after the hours, so the public were gone by the evening sessions, and we had the pool to ourselves. We needed that because you had to get your lanes, and there were so many in the club all training and all doing different strokes and all doing different things, maybe doing the, you know, 200, 300, 400 medleys in the lane, so you needed the pool to yourself. The great thing was that when the training was finished, you had the pool to yourself, so most of the people had all gone, all the guys in the club, all the girls in the club had gone, and a few of us would always hang back, would hide from the bus attendant by going to the shallow end where his wee office was, and hang by your fingers on the gutter and draped ourselves down onto your knees so he wouldn't notice that we were still in the pool, and we'd then silently swim about in the pool with the dimmed lights. It was like something, if you watched some of these pools that people have in Miami, underlit by blue lights. That's how it was then. We didn't have the underwater lights, but that was the appearance then, and it was just like, oh man, this is in heaven. So training was arduous, training was fun, training was a carry-on, because the last half an hour Mr. Samuel allowed us to do whatever we wanted, as long as it involved swimming and diving. And that's when we really lost the plot and did some really stupid things. But it stood me in good stead. I'm still to this day, I wouldn't say now I'm a powerful swimmer. I don't have, I need to go into training to get the lungs back to anywhere near they were, but I think I did damage to my lungs when I smoked after I became about 18-year-old or 17-year-old. I started smoking. Drifted away from the baths by the time I was 18. But we did swim in events all over the country. I remember swimming in Edinburgh against the... I'm trying to remember the name of the street. Infirmary Street was the name of where the pool was. I'm trying to remember. It was a Lido pool. Swimming in competition, winning various things like a crystal vase for your mammy, or an alarm clock to get you your bed in the morning. Very, very few monetary... very, very, very few monetary prizes at that time. But all great fun, and travelling away in the bus, you know, the club bus. Well, it wasn't a club bus, it would just be a hired bus. In fact, if I remember right, it was actually only just in the public buses, so nothing fancy at all. But it was great fun, camaraderie, and the well wishes before your race, the nerves, your butterflies in your tummy, legs shaking like hell on the side of the pool as you were about to dive in for your event, trying to control the wobbles. I remember all that, but once you're in the water, it was just get on with the job. And when you came out, no matter where you finished in the race, well, no matter, unless you were last, it was that buzz that you had done the best you could, and you know, you still got applauded by the audience and the club members from all around. I remember it all. It was great, great fun. Going back to Roger's audio where he was talking about size, shape and clothing. Nowadays, I say you couldn't possibly tell, because in those days, as I said, it was very formal wear that you had, and we didn't have the fancy stuff we've got now. But nowadays, you know, you could have, let's say, a guy walking out of the shower room into the pool for the first time, and he might be wearing those beach shorts, boxer shorts kind of things, and just look like an ordinary guy, you wouldn't know. And he's walking casual, nothing about him says, I'm a good swimmer. But he could just be in one of his relaxation days. He could be a top swimmer and just want to get in the pool and have a bit of fun. You'll find, I would say, Roger, that you would find that, in general, a good swimmer will be fairly trim, unless they're in the middle age, because I remember there was a women's club when we swam with our club, you know, for the youngsters. Actual swimming club. There was a ladies' club that did certain evenings. And I remember many, many overweight, roly-poly lady that could have shown many of our youngsters their heels, very clean heels in the water, that is, their heels, because in their youth they were obviously very, very good swimmers, and had maintained their swimming, even though hadn't maintained their egg timer shape, body shape, and blossomed into mature middle-aged ladies. But boy, 30, 40 lengths was nothing to them. They could have swum all night, never go out of breath. So I don't think there's any way you can tell nowadays, to be honest with you. And more pools now are less formal than lanes. They're fun pools. They're more chutes and flumes and waves and things like that. And finding a formal pool now. I'll finish off now by saying that our pool is now going to build. I'm just actually driving past the Bilbardi Sports Centre in the town, which they built many, many years ago, and they built the brand new pool, which is a formal pool, and they also have a kiddies pool. It was great to see that they built it as a formal pool with no waves. I'm really glad about that, because when they make these informal pools, you lose the ability to swim properly and to train properly. And it's okay, they're fun for most people, but for those that want to swim properly and exercise properly, they're useless, to be perfectly honest with you. But unfortunately, the consequence of that was that the old pool was knocked down about 2 years ago, I think, 2-3 years ago. So it's a vacant lot, but they're going to build something on it. I think an old people's building. So there you go. My history of swimming. I, like Roger, I need to get back in the pool. It's one of those hobbies, pastime sports, when you keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, but once the day you go, put your swimming trunks in the water, it all comes back, like riding a bike, as they say. It all comes back, and all of a sudden you're swimming and enjoying yourself. And unfortunately, you're not allowed to dive nowadays because they blow a whistle at you, which is bloody sad. But I still, when I get in a pool or in the water, I was swimming in the Med the other day there in La Marina. And the waves, the crashing waves, which was fantastic. But when I get into a pool, it all comes back and you think to yourself, why don't I do this more? Why do I avoid coming to the pool when I love it so much? And unfortunately, it's always that same answer. I haven't got the time, but it's just an excuse. So thanks for listening. And thanks for the feed, Roger. And thanks for the comment, Sarah, that along with her feet helped me to make my mind up to piggyback onto Roger's audio. Cheery bye the new.